It's no mistake that Abigail Washburn's debut CD is called Song of the Traveling Daughter, as travel figures prominently in her story. Abigail is a banjo-playing singer-songwriter who discovered her muse after a stay in China studying and working that led her to a greater appreciation of American culture. There's more to it, as we'll find out talking with Abigail. I started our session out by joking that Abigail Washburn was the perfect old-time Appalachian name.
I was born in Evanston, Illinois, and raised in between there and Gaithersburg, Maryland, and Edina, Minnesota.
So none of those places seem particularly old-timey.
Not particularly. Yeah, I'm kind of a product of just American suburbs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how did you you become interested? Was it in banjo first or in the music?
It was in the music, really. I've always loved to sing, and I've always loved to sing. And when I was in college, I was in a women's a cappella group, and I've always sung in the African American gospel choirs wherever I was, and just love singing, but never thought of myself as a musician or even as somebody who would go on to tour or play music or write music, for God's sakes. But it was after living in China, which was my academic track, something I was much more focused on in college, that living in China, particularly in one place called Chengdu, which is a very cultural, sort of an old culture hotspot, a place where culture is preserved in China pretty well, because it's in this basin that sort of backs up against the Tibetan mountains, the Himalayas, and other mountains to the east. And it just seems like a real breadbasket, you know, just full of beautiful Chinese culture. And it was after living there that I came back to the United States, and I realized I spent all this time studying another culture, and I don't know much about my own. And
that seems like a story in and of itself, how Chinese culture turned you inward on our culture. I want to give you a chance to expound on that. Why don't we do a tune first,
sure.
And then we'll meet up with you again in Chengdu.
Okay. That sounds good.
What do you want to start off with?
We're going to start with a song called Sometimes, which is an original based on Round Peak banjo playing. Tree and ash of you, the rains came in yesterday.
Abigail Washburn is our guest today, and that's called Sometimes, and you'll find it on her wonderful album called Songs of the Traveling Daughter. And you should tell people who's playing those fiddle and those cello lines on the cello today.
Yeah. Well, his name's Ben Soley.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Abigail, where we left off, you were in Chengdu in China, but I'm curious as to academically what you were pursuing that brought you there, first of all.
Well, at first it was a general study. It was sort of like just figuring out if it was something that I wanted to dedicate myself to academically. And when I figured out that it was, well, it became much more than an academic pursuit, and ultimately that's what made it so attractive. And I don't know, it just... It became very apparent that in order for me to understand the culture the way I wanted to, I would have to change. And that thrilled me, you know, just the idea that the study was going to affect me as much as I was going to pursue it.
How did it transform you?
The mere act of speaking another language is simply fascinating. I mean, Ben says, his friends say this to me when I start speaking Chinese, I literally look like I'm a different person almost. I start using my left hand to gesture instead of my right. It's very weird. Yeah. People mentioned this to me before, but essentially I have to have a deep enough of a sense of what it means to be Chinese to be able to say things that would make sense in that context.
Wow.
And I can't say that I'm any, you know, that I'm all that, you know, profoundly capable of that, but mm-hmm. I'm definitely pursuing it.
Now, do you speak any other languages? Does it feel different than speaking another language?
Oh, I spoke some French in eighth grade,
yeah.
You know, eighth, ninth, tenth. But I really didn't go very deep with that stuff. But it is a different feeling. I remember, this is terrible. I shouldn't say this on the radio, but I remember going to France for 7 weeks one summer. I think it was after my ninth grade year. And It was pretty awesome. I mean, I got to stay with this really cool family and everything, but we ended in Paris, and I decided after that it just wasn't quite the language I wanted to learn for one reason or another. I just didn't feel like it was going to get me all that closer to the folks that I was meeting, and I don't know. So I held out for something different.
Well, one of your cross-cultural forays is actually the title track of this album, Song of the Traveling Daughter, which is an adaptation of a Chinese poem?
It's actually not really an adaptation of a Chinese poem. It's simply the title of the Chinese poem called Song of the Traveling Son, You Ziyin, was the inspiration for me thinking about what would the Song of the Traveling Daughter be, You Nüyin. It just basically inspired a thought for a different song. But You Ziyin is an old poem from the 8th century written by a man named Meng Jiao. It's essentially about it's pretty abstract. I mean, it's a mother who's holding these threads in her hand, and then you sense that the son is wearing them somewhere. Maybe he's a soldier, but he's definitely walking away somewhere. The last line of the poem is, "How can a blade of spring grass repay three seasons of sunshine?" And it's beautiful. It's really about filial piety and family and obligation. And Song of the Traveling Daughter is quite different. It's really about freedom and a woman figuring out what she wants and going for it.
Song of the Traveling Daughter from our guest, Abigail Washburn's disc, actually the title track of that. And have you continued to write in Chinese?
I do. I continue. Yeah.
Is it, now, what's it like? How does it compare to, you know, writing in English?
Assuming you have the same language facility.
Right. I don't have the same language facility. But I actually, around the period of time that I realized I was going to start pursuing music, I was lucky enough to, a lot of things fell into line. I have to tell you, otherwise I wouldn't be here. This is pretty amazing. I can't even tell you. But one thing that did happen was I got an offer randomly from this guy mini-disced me at a jam one night, which actually led to a record deal and led also to a call from a film company in New York who heard this mini-disc of me singing a song I translated into Chinese. And they called me and they said, we heard this mini-disc of you singing something in Chinese. And, well, we're collecting songs for a Chinese reality TV show that we're putting out this next year. We were wondering if you could contribute some of your songs. And I thought to myself, wow. Okay, so I sat down and I wrote a song. And the first song I wrote was Song of the Traveling Daughter. And quickly after that, I ran into this beautiful woman. I was translating contracts or a contract for this biotech firm that I was working for in Nashville, Tennessee. And she was a person I contacted to help me with it. We met each other and she was just this beautiful person. And I said, what do you, you know, you don't seem like a translator, you know? And she said, you don't either, you know? And we both figured out that we loved music, and she's a poet, and so we started writing songs together.
Wow. So is this one of those?
Yes, this is. Her name's Jingli Jerka, by the way. Thank you.
That's beautiful. That's called Journey Home. And if I were going to tell people that we were going to have a banjo and cello duet on an old-timey song sung in Chinese, they'd think it was a Saturday Night Live skit on public radio or something.
Yeah, somebody thought I was... Yeah, a bunch of people thought I was strange for thinking I could, you know, cut a record and have a record label put it out and play banjo and sing in Chinese.
But it's clearly worked. And the other aspect of it that I find really interesting is... reading a bit about how your being in China kind of turned you towards kind of the roots of American culture. I mean, our roots are not as dynasties deep as China, but how did it do that? How did it turn you towards studying this further?
Well, there's two things. One was I realized I was spending a whole lot of time studying another culture, and at one point I kind of wished I could be Chinese, and it made me think to myself, I'm never going to be Chinese. I'm never going to be Chinese. So let's figure out, I just thought to myself, I've got to figure out what I am. I guess that's about growing up too. You know, just the second part is that I was learning this language and learning it well enough that I could start to really express myself. But I realized I had put so much time into trying to learn the language that I wasn't really thinking about what I had to say in the language. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, well, I could work for somebody else and use my language skills to express something that a company needs or a legal system needs or something like that. But it was when I found music that I realized, oh, this could be about self-expression, speaking this language. So it became that.
Well, what made you want to be Chinese, what do you think?
I guess that was a weird thing to say, wasn't it? Well, I think there comes a point, I could say generally when people are studying something that they want to go as deep as possible. And for me, I think it was a desire to feel close to other Chinese people. And there's a phrase that they use for foreigners called Lao Wai. And it's not, there's nothing negative about the term. It's actually fairly deferential. It's a nice thing. They say old outsider. That's what they call you. I think that's how I always felt, you know, when I was starting the study of Chinese, I felt like I was always going to be an outsider. And so I had this drive to become as aware of the culture as possible so that I could feel a part of it. That was one of my drives to study Chinese, was to feel a part of that culture, to feel like the differences weren't that great.
Did all this immersion kind of change how you felt about what it was to be an American, or actually what happened when you came back to
the States?
Yeah.
The immersion definitely changed me, and every time it was different that I lived in China for a long period of time. Honestly, I think it was how uncomfortable I felt as being an American in Chinese culture in the first place that made me want to study it deeper, made me want to feel less like an outsider. And there was something about being American in at what at the time in 1996 was more on the side of the third world country, developing nation side of things than Beijing and Shanghai, specifically those big cities are now. I definitely felt extremely different, and I felt like I would never have a place in Chinese society. And it made me resent my own nationality a bit, I have to admit.
How so?
I felt like I was going to be seen for my country's mass media that flows throughout the world and politics. I didn't want to be seen as that. I wanted to be myself in this culture, and I wanted to be understood, and I wanted to understand. And I think on a certain level, I've always been somebody who's been really committed to understanding how to be a peaceful person and how to live in a peaceful world. And that meant somehow becoming a bridge and having it not be painful to be who I am in this culture.
And then, but turning back to writing in English more too, I'm curious as to that piece.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's about self-expression too.
But it is. I think It just sort of all started unfolding around the same time.
Well, do one of your English songs.
Okay.
One of your ones.
You Stole the Apple.
You have two different banjos here. What's the difference?
There's not much of a difference, actually, between the structures of the banjos. It's just the tuning.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I guess that's an important thing. In old-time banjos, one of the things that... The sound of old-time music, a lot of it has to do with open, full strings. And so making chords up the neck isn't exactly the way to play old-time banjo. That's all I know. So I have to have lots of tunings in order to keep... Each key I go into has a different tuning. So,
what's this song?
This is called Eve Stole the Apple.
I know she could. be me.
Eve stole the apple from our guest, Abigail Washburn. You must have a lot of fun doing these arrangements. This is really cool.
It's really fun. Yeah.
I can tell you're really having fun playing together, too. So yeah. It's really definitely great. Thank you so much for playing live for us.
David, thank you so much for having us on.
Abigail Washburn, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on The World Cafe. Thanks again to Abigail Washburn for joining us. Song of the Traveling Daughter is her CD. If you're looking to get it, well, why don't you just telecommute to our World Cafe website, our new one at worldcafe.npr.org, where we can send you to our World Cafe CD store. You'll support the show and get some great music coming back your way.